Abion, yay. So rewind. Joshua 10. Okay, so yeah, I do have a copy of it, and I'll get it printed up nice. I'll print it color on my printer and then black and white on this printer. But it gives you insight into what Moses, David, Joshua, even up until Martin Luther, and even into the 1900s, where most Christians believe this, in this last 60 years is when the other alternative has been gaining ground. So Joshua 10:12, this is where we left it off. And then we'll pick up new territory down there in 15. And we'll go ahead and pray. Lord, I do ask you to help us understand your words. Help us to be faithful to your words. And I pray that you'd help us to believe your words. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so Joshua, the idea of war in the Bible, Exodus 5:15, verse 3 says, "The Lord is a man of war." And because America has a Christian foundation, the general populace of the country in the 1700s were Christian. Great revivals being taken place. But yet the devil's crowd on May 1st began, founded the Illuminati. And then July 4th is when the people officially declared our independence. They had appealed to King George since about January 1st, but you know, you got slow messages going back and forth where King George signed this act that you don't hear about historians talking about. It's called a Prohibitory Act. And this act is what the king actually divorced the colonies. He threw them off. Okay, so this came into effect January 1st. He signed it in December. And so that's why the colonists came up with the idea of independence. They were forced to. Okay, it's almost like a spouse divorcing the other spouse. What's the other spouse going to do? I mean, they're going to have to do something. So a lot of times people call it a rebellion, a revolution, stuff like that. And technically it wasn't. Okay, because King George had already threw them off. And so most of the colonists, the statistics say about 90% of them had Blackstone's commentaries on the law. Sir William Blackstone was an Englander, and he wrote, I think, four commentaries on law. So these people really understood law. And, okay, has anybody ever looked at some of the Blackstone commentaries on the law? Okay, Brother Paul, I figured you would, and some of you, okay. It's a rare thing, but the colonists knew it. And then there was another big book printed in 1776 called The Wealth of Nations. Okay, and this is kind of how nations produce wealth and economics. Have you read that, some of that one, Paul? The Wealth of Nations? Okay, it's about that thick, so it's something, okay, I'll start reading. Okay, I got it, and put it on the shelf. And so that's what the colonists understood. They were very educated people, very spiritual-minded people. And so the king threw them off, and so they had nothing to do but declare independence. And so the war actually became a war of self-defense. Because you know, you try to get rid of a fly out of your room and it just keeps coming back and bugging you and bugging you and bugging you. That's what King George was like. I mean, the poor little narcissist got his feelings hurt. And so then he sent other people and other people's children to go fight his battle 3,000 miles across the sea. And so that was actually a war of self-defense. So the Christians in those days debated and discussed. Back in those days, a lot of people know about the Federalist Papers. Does anybody remember the Federalist Papers? So the Federalist Papers were essays on government that were published in a newspaper, and the Americans read these things, and so they're debating about the right kind of government. And then there were anti-Federalist papers being written. Most only know about the Federalists, but the anti-Federalists, that's who Patrick Henry was a part of. Okay, Patrick Henry, the first governor of Virginia, and Patrick Henry would bail out the Baptist preachers who were arrested because they didn't get a license, and then he would go to court and defend them and then get them out of trouble. And when he became the first governor of Virginia, many of the Baptists of Virginia wrote a letter to him thanking God that he's their governor and all this stuff. Okay, so all that in mind, they debated what is a just war. Okay, so what is a just war? Okay, the American Revolutionary War, what is known, was a just war because it was a war of self-defense. Okay, so that's what they concluded. They concluded a just war is self-defense. So if somebody breaks into your house, you got every right to pop them. And I'm not saying popcorn. Okay, and if they fall outside the window, pull them back in the house. Okay, and if they didn't have a gun on them, and you didn't know that you have an unregistered one, so you stancing on them. Okay? Where did you learn that from, police officers? Okay, and so the war of self-defense. The Bible teaches that we can defend ourselves. Jesus told the apostles to get what? Told them to get a sword, right? They said, we got two. So that's one in six. So one in six should be packing tonight. Yeah, you packing? Not tonight. He's packing. So you're safe over here. Over here we got a duck. Okay, so the sword was for self-defense. So we can protect ourselves, we can protect our families, the war of self-defense. That's why, what do they call the military? The Department of Defense. Okay, so you'll find this throughout the Bible, with the exception of Joshua and them coming in the land of Canaan. So that was more of offensive war, but what it was God executing justice upon the heathen. What war is, it's nothing but executing justice of a violation of the law. Okay, so if you have one person, criminal, hurt somebody, justice is criminal punished. If you have two people, criminals going after two people punished. If you have 10 criminals and they affect 10, okay, if you got a whole nation attack somebody, there we have a war. And what in the Bible they would do and what our country should do is if somebody attacks us, you send notices to the opposing country they're from, leaflets around the country stating, send us the criminal. If they don't, we're coming after all of you. That's what they should do. Okay, and so, remember the one in Judges where the guy said that one queen was up in there and he says, who's for the king? And they said, throw her down. Remember that story? And he threw her down 70 times 7. And pick the fragments thereof. So that's what a war is. It's nothing more than justice. And God is a God of justice. War is justice. So in this context, Joshua is executing the death sentence against these Canaanites because they have been killing people right and left. And God said, okay, this land's yours. We need to get them out of here. And so start executing justice. And in chapter 10, the sun was, the sun setting, okay, as far as that go from our perspective, was going down. So they when they had time to clean up the act. So in Joshua 10:12, then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. He said in the sight of Israel, sun, stand thou still in Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the narrative reads, and the sun stood still. Okay, if he was confused in verse 12, then whoever wrote this was confused in verse 13. The sun stood still and the moon stayed, And the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is this not written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven. So twice it says that. And hasted not to go down about a day. Bible so precise. About a day. And so then, and if you go to a few years later about Hezekiah getting sick. Okay, and then God says, you're dead duck. You get your house in order. And Mrs. Hezekiah made sure he had his life insurance policies paid up. And so then he said, oh, God, I want to live longer. I want to live longer. And the Lord said, okay. I'll give you 15 more years. Can you imagine him checking off on his calendar? 15 more years. Okay, and he said, well, prove it to me. And then he said, okay, how about a sign? What kind of a sign? He said, well, you can make the sun go forward or backwards. So go forward's not a big deal, but how about backwards? And it says 10 degrees, and that would have been about 40 minutes, which would have completed a 24-hour period with Joshua, those two. Okay, and so, can you imagine the story with Hezekiah? When you read the story, Isaiah came and put figs on his sores. So can you imagine? He had alternative health and flat earth, all in the same thing. What a terrible thing that Isaiah, what a nut he was. Okay, and so so this is what happened. So if you see the Hebrew concept, the Hebrew belief of the creation, it's not a big deal. It's really not a big deal. A miracle to us is a big deal, but to God, it's just changing, making adjustments. All he did was he took the watch, pulled out the little knob, and rotated it backwards. And that's all that the Lord did. Or he just pulled the knob out so that your watch stopped. Okay, that's what... You ever play those games with that little sand clock? You know, the sand thing goes back and forth. Make sure the dad's in charge of that, because that way you could set it on the side and get extra time. And that's all God did for Joshua. That's all that he did. Okay, so now if we drop, okay, verse 14, it reads this, and there was no day like that before it or after it that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. Just think of that. One guy on this earth affected the entire earth, and there are many different countries, different historians in different places talked about a very, very long day in their culture. So that affected the entire world. And then it says the Lord fought for Israel. In Proverbs 21, it says, it is joy to the just to execute judgment. So it's joy to God to execute judgment. Why? Because he is aiding the victim. He's giving them peace. He's giving them closure. And this is what Job did. This is one thing that Job did. He says if he didn't understand a cause, he would search it out, and then he would go and then protect the widow and the orphan. And I often wonder, when you read about Job's testimony in that, you know, he was a very wealthy man, so he had a lot of, shall we say, employees. And then in society, he helped a lot of people in their court situations. And I often wonder, where were those people when he got sick? Where were they? Okay, and it's something. Okay, so in verse 15, Joshua returned and all Israel with him unto the camp of Gilgal. But these five kings fled and hid themselves in the cave at Makkada. So this is obviously a very logical thing to do. Okay, in Afghanistan, there are caves everywhere. Steve Quayle is a guy that kind of specializes in giants and other, he calls them Nephilims. He does specialize in some strange doctrines, I guess you could say. But because he does, many soldiers have secretly given him their testimonies, and a few soldiers gave their testimony of killing a 12 or 14-foot giant in Afghanistan, that this giant had killed several soldiers, and so they had a bunch of them go, and they finally beat it, killed it, And then it not only killed the soldiers, it ate the soldiers, some of them. And so then they, after they killed it, they got it on a plane and brought it to America and are studying it. But this is the secrets of America that they're not going to tell us about, you know, UFOs and Area 51 and all that stuff. And so, you know, I don't know if it's true or not. I don't doubt it. I know it can happen, but it's logical why they go in a cave. Okay, today it's logical to go in a cave because surveillance can't go in a cave. And if you go to Colorado Springs, there are 5 military bases that surround Colorado Springs. And one is the Air Force Academy, then you got Fort Carson, and then there's an Air Force base, and then there's NORAD. NORAD is an inside the mountain, the mountains of Colorado, NORAD, where that's where Dick Cheney, brave Dick Cheney, fled on 9/11. Okay, and it supposedly can withstand nuclear attacks. Okay, so this is a common thing. You want to see it in the Bible? Let's try Revelation 6. Where do some of the kings go during the tribulation, or where do they crawl out of when the Lord shows up? Revelation 6. And if you go down a rabbit hole, there's things called DUMS, okay, and that's not, you know, a mascot of the Democratic Party, but DUMB is deep underground military bases, and they have entire cities stocked and everything, and tunnels all over the place. Okay, and if you've ever gone to Denver International Airport and just walk around, you will see a bunch of very demonic art. That Denver Airport is a very centralized demonic area. So in Revelation 6:12, you got the great earthquake. This is the sixth seal. Verse 13, the stars of heaven fell onto the earth. Okay, and even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. Okay, since those stars are, you know, millions of light years away, they're on their way here. I mean, had to really get going. And so, and heaven departed as a scroll, so the heaven rolls back. Scroll, it's very similar. Is it Milwaukee? The Brewers, they have like an opening, but then they can close it and open it. The Brewers do. Okay, so it's like that, where it opens up. It's like the northern lights, a veil or a curtain. When it's rolled together, every mountain of an island were moved out of their places, and the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. See, that's where they're at. Atlas Shrugged wrote about this in 1957. The great classic, you know, Atlas Shrugged. And powers that be, if they want to kind of let others know that they're in on the game, if they buy a $100 copy of Atlas Shrugged, like a Christian would have a family Bible on a coffee table, they'd have Atlas Shrugged there. And if you read the classic, it's kind of a bore, she talks about red train, blue train, and he talks about the elite, the rich, going into the earth. And then when the earth is in chaos, after the chaos, they will come up out of the ground. And so the devil has to broadcast his intentions. The Lord makes him. And so that's the Revelation 6. So if we look at Joshua 10 through the eyes of doctrine, Joshua is a type of Christ, Joshua Jesus. And this event with the hailstones will be repeated in Revelation. And the sun and the moon are going to have very strange reactions during the tribulation or the second coming. So this is all like a warm-up for the Lord. Okay, so the kings are in the caves. Verse 17, it was told Joshua, saying, 5 kings are found hid in a cave at Makeda. And so they were busy in the battle. And so he just said, roll great stones upon the mouth of the cave. I don't know how they did that. And set men by it for to keep them. unless they knew the secret that the Coral Castle guy down in Florida did. I don't know what I think about that. That's a fellow that has huge, massive rocks, and he had it someplace. I don't know if it was Georgia, and he wanted to move it to Florida, and so he had the truckers bring in their trucks, and then they had to leave. He didn't want them around. And then he put the rocks on the trucks, okay, and then got down to the Coral Castle. You can look it up online. And then, again, the truckers were to park him and leave, and then he got him off. Now, I don't know if he did a positive, negative thing. Is the earth negative and above positive? I forget how that works. Electromagnetism, where if you shoot two, if the earth is negative and you shoot a negative toward the earth, it's like North Pole, South Pole on a magnet. And it will create levitation. Morris has implied this, but he hasn't taught a class on it. And if he did that, we will really be. Those people believe in levitating. Well, didn't the Lord? Did he walk on water? But I'm certainly not the Lord. I can walk on ice. That's what I can do. So, okay, so they put these big stones there. 19, stay ye not, but pursue after your enemies. Smite the hindmost of them. Okay, suffer them not to enter into their cities, for the Lord your God hath delivered them into your hand. It came to pass when Joshua and children of Israel were made an end of slaying them with a very great slaughter. People say, man, that's just ruthless. Yeah, but what would Jewish people feel like after, you know, Hitler died? Or at least the media said he died. They would have rejoiced. So these people are rejoicing. Because these people have been ruthless in killing people. And so it's a great slaughter. And the Lord takes pleasure in judgment. It says, till they were consumed, that the rest which remained of them entered into fenced cities. And all the people returned to the camp to Joshua at Makkedah in peace. None moved his tongue against any of the children of Israel. So then said Joshua, open the mouth of the cave and bring out those five kings unto me out of the cave. And they did so, and brought forth five kings unto him out of the cave, the king of Jerusalem, king of Hebron. We say Hebron. They'd say Hebron. Jerusalem, that's where the capital is. Hebron is the city of David, where he's from. King of Jarmuth, king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon. Came to pass when he brought out those kings unto Joshua, that Joshua called for all the men of Israel and said unto the captains of them in war, which with them, come near, put your feet upon the necks. Okay, so what's the common saying you get out of that? Put your feet upon their necks. Had them by the throat. They had them by the throat. So we get common sayings from the Bible. Okay, and some of them originate only from the King James Bible because it's far more advanced. So come near, put your feet upon the necks of those kings. And they came near and put their feet upon the necks of the kings. Almost like cheating them, like you're going to butcher a chicken. You know, lefty, loosey, righty, tighty. You know how that works. And so, yeah. And maybe these kings, what if these kings weren't flesh and blood men? Sometimes we don't think about that. Okay, what if they were demoniac kings? Like Genesis 6, mighty men of renown. So, you know, we don't know. In Ezekiel 29:3, Ezekiel said about the Pharaoh of his day, he said he's a red dragon. Now, if he would have put that in a newspaper and said, Pharaoh's a red dragon, they'd say, boy, that Ezekiel has some weird stuff in there. But he said Pharaoh's a red dragon. But the people would see he's a very charismatic individual. And so the devil transforms himself into an angel of light. And in Revelation, their 10 demoniac kings will give their authority to Satan, and then they'll, you know, have a one world government. But they're not flesh and blood people. And if you think about it, it's like these people, have no conscience, none whatsoever. You know, I mean, Biden, if it's Biden, if he's an actor, there's zero conscience, none whatsoever. They sleep good at night. You know, and I wonder, it's because if they're flesh and blood, their conscience is actually shot. But if they're not flesh and blood, then they will have no conscience like a cat playing with a mouse. And it's funny to me how Christians never consider that. We're to be Bible believers. Okay, and the Bible hints at these things all the time. It's sprinkled throughout there. And so it's just knowledge that it gives a person, I think it gives a person peace. And we got to put up with this mess down here for the short time we're here, and then we get 1,000 years with the Lord Jesus. So a lot of times people get all upset. Oh, Biden got elected. Oh. God is not in heaven wringing his hands. I just can't believe that Joe Biden's president. You know, our fake president. He's not worried about it. This is all part of God's plan. And we believe the book. Rejoice in that. So then Joshua said to them, 25, fear not, nor be dismayed. Be strong and of good courage. Why would he have to say that when they got the five guys there with their foot on their neck? And there's a fear. There's a fear that people have. They get overcome. For thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies against whom you fight. So they're not done yet. They got a lot more to go. And the Lord will kind of back off and want them to do more fighting. This is like training wheels time. So then he's going to back off. And he does the same for us, where he's going to give some great miracles and victories in our lives. And then it's going to be like, I'm praying, but where does it go? And that's the Lord trying us to see how we are. So that's 25:20. Afterwards, Joshua smote them, slew them, hanged them on five trees. And they were hanging upon the trees till evening. Okay, so there's a reason for that. That's why they take them off at 6 o'clock evening. Pagans will keep them on the poles for weeks to produce fear. Vlad the Impaler, if you want to read something, read about Vlad the Impaler. And he's the kind of the Dracula movies are based upon Vlad the Impaler. I mean, this dude was just ruthless. Okay, and I mean, it's amazing. So the Jewish people, they'll hang them, let them there until 6, and then they take them down. So 27, it came to pass at the time of the going down of the sun that Joshua commanded. Okay, so this is, you know, now almost 48 hours, you know, because it's got that 24-hour delay there, or whatever, the time span. And they took them down off the trees and cast them into the cave wherein they had been hid, and laid great stones in the cave's mouth, which remain unto this day. So, and then, and that day Joshua took Makkedah and smote it with the edge of the sword, and the king thereof he utterly destroyed them and all the souls that were therein. He let none remain. He did to the king of Makkedah as he did unto the king of Jericho. So let none remain. And then he passed from Makkedah and all Israel with him unto Libnah and fought against them, Libnah. God delivered them to 30. And then 31, he went from Libnah to Lachish. And 32, the Lord delivered him. 33, Gezer, okay, there in Lachish, to help with Lachish. And then 34, you got from Lachish, he went to Eglon. So he's going after each of these kingdoms. Okay, now that Eglon is kind of mentioned in Judges 3. So he's going from place to place, marching in. And then took it on that day, verse 35, and smote with the edge of the sword. And then 36, he went up from Eglon and all Israel and him unto Hebron, fought against it. So now we're getting closer to the center of Israel, Jerusalem and Hebron. Okay, and then they took it, 37. And these people had built great stone buildings, so they didn't destroy the buildings, and so they just repurposed. Wouldn't that have been kind of fun? Coming here, man, I want that one right there. And then going in and all this, and some kind of feel, you know, what's called the California Gold Rush. I'm not so sure what, if it is what people say it is, because San Francisco's already had the buildings laid out. It's almost like these people got out there, look at this huge city out here, and they just kind of came in, and the gold rush was taking gold off the stuff in the cities. But I don't know, that's if you want to delve into that idea, but it's just, it's really, history has really been distorted. In American history, isn't it kind of curious? Does it, until it didn't dawn on me, but how curious it is that we have so many history about orphans. Why is it that we glorify orphans? You know, like Heidi and Little Orphan Annie and all this stuff. And then in you ever read about orphan trains in the 1800s? Where they would be on the East Coast and they'd have thousands of orphans and nobody knew where they were coming from. And they'd put them on a train and they'd just come through America, come through the Midwest, stop at a city, who would like to take an orphan, you know, two or three kids. And you can find it online, some of them that go through that. And then they would actually, at the World Fairs, you remember hearing about World Fairs? You read about the narrative of that, which don't make any sense. But they'd have incubators, and people would go in there and look at these little babies in these incubators. It was like a show. And it was like, where are all these kids coming from? And it really doesn't make any sense at all. When you read that, and they supposedly these world fairs where they put up these massive buildings and then they destroyed them all afterwards. It's like, why would you do that? And it makes really no sense. But some folks kind of think that, you know, I know I'm absolutely convinced our history is really distorted and it's hard to figure out. The devil wants to do that because if he had a massive kingdom and it got, you know, destroyed, he doesn't want people to know he's vulnerable to our God. We can rejoice in our God. And so, yeah, that's something. 38, Joshua returned, and he went to Deber. And I know we're trying to pronounce it in the American way. If you pronounce it Israeli way, you got to have some phlegm in your throat. Okay, 39, he took it, and the king thereof, and all the cities thereof, and they smote them with the edge of the sword, and utterly destroyed all the souls that were therein. He left none remaining, as he had done to Hebron, so he did to Deber, and to the king thereof, he had done to Libna, her king. Joshua smote all the country of the hills, and of the south, and of the vale, and of the springs, so they had amazing water. And all their kings, he left none remaining, but utterly destroyed all that breathed. People say, what about the kids? Well, they actually probably saved your life, because if those kids would have grown up, they would have became heathen like their parents. But now that if they were pulled out before the day of conscience, then they're in Abraham's bosom waiting. You know, same with Sodom and Gomorrah. So, and utterly destroyed all that breathed, as the Lord God of Israel commanded. And because of all this spiritual infestation, okay, then he smote, it's 2041, Joshua smote them from Kadesh Barnea, even unto Gaza. Gaza, there was one we hear in the news. Gaza. Boy, ain't that something? Still fighting about that. Right there it is. That's the power of the book. Why is it that, you know, 7 billion people, all these nations on earth, the focal point is Jerusalem. I mean, why is that? There's no logical explanation for that, except for God. That's for sure. And then 42, he says, and all these kings in their land did Joshua take at one time, because the Lord God of Israel fought for Israel. And I wonder, you know, the 2.5 tribes that chose to be on the other side, I wonder when they come in, man, boy, we sure jumped a gun. But they had to stick with it. They made their choice. And then 43, Joshua returned and all the Israel with him unto the camp Gilgal. Okay, so on 11 starts something else going on. Okay, any questions or comments that we covered? Brother Paul?
I remember when you talked about putting your feet on the neck of your enemy, and Barack Obama said he was going to put his boot on the neck of the oil magnate VP on the Deepwater oil spill.
Yeah, there you go.
More money from BP than anybody would have had the right to if they were a dictator. It cost me thousands of dollars out of my retirement.
Wow.
At the time, it hit the company hard.
Wow.
Extorted so much money from them, something, and it didn't take anywhere near that to clear the problem up. But I remember him saying he's going to put his boot on the neck.
Yeah, devil's got to quote scripture, don't they?
So it's still a common saying.
Yeah, yeah. They weren't Muslims officially, but the spirit, yes. Yes. It is all Muslim territory. So we could say they were Edomites or Arabs. How come what? Because of the other descendants that weren't in the area, or weren't, or the other descendants, say, in Saudi Arabia or other surrounding countries. He did promise Esau is going to be many nations also. So it's they continue to have that. In Galatians 4, says that the Arabs, or the Edomites, or the Ishmaelites are like thorns in the flesh of Israel, like our flesh is to our soul. So he's going to, according to Ezekiel 35, 15 verses, he's going to obliterate Edom, just as he's going to obliterate our flesh and give us a new body. But yeah. Yeah, and Muslims today, the average growth rate, or the average children of the average Muslim family is 8 children. And the white race is 1.1, which is below sustaining the race. So they're going to outpopulate us. But the Lord's coming back, so let them get with it.
Well, Chinese already well.
Yeah, yeah. So did that answer it? Okay.
Wasn't Esau promised? Well,
yep. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And then he named his dukes. Not Dukes of Hazzard, but that's where you get in England, you've got the titles of nobility. You know, the dukes, the barons, the lords, and stuff was like that. And America had an original 13th Amendment that was a prohibition for titles of nobility, and somehow that mysteriously faded away. And that the reason why is because it was a title against lawyers. Because a lawyer admitted to the bar, bar stands British Accepted Registry. It's a title of nobility. And that what the colonists or the new Americans didn't, they disdained lawyers. And so the article, 13th article, was in the 1840s. I have a copy of original, but somehow historically that just faded away. It disappeared in less than 20 years. And then the 13th article of the Civil Wars against slavery. So, The attorneys sort of kind of get in there. Okay, anything else? Okay. Yes?
It's interesting how throughout history, God uses one person to carry out, to change the world.
Yeah.
And now we have a guy named Donald Trump. And you just can't stop thinking about just one man.
Yeah.
Stopping a whole party. Millions of people.
Yeah.
I mean, they think they've got Donald under his thumb. But is it the other way around? I mean, we don't hardly know what's going on.
It's hard to pin down. Unless it's a whole act, too. Who knows? Time will tell.
He is a big thorn in their flesh, though.
Huh?
He is a big thorn in their flesh.
Oh, man, yeah.
I'm hoping that that starts.
Okay, prayer requests? Might have. Pray for...